was a bad bet, nevertheless. Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a wreck. Crash at my place, baby. So, the sports ball, huh?
The sports ball. I love sports balls.
Sports ball. Balls, sports. I don't. When is this coming out? Sports are sporting.
MLB shut down.
Yes. Yes. It was incredible. Well, I guess we'll always just say the Dodgers would have won it all.
That's the only thing to take away from that one.
Oh, I think the playoffs start tomorrow in the NBA.
Hell yeah.
In the only practical approach league for this. Well, no, aside from the MLS, when our beloved Timbers won the championship.
And NHL.
Yeah, they also bubbled. Although, yeah. I know far less about that one than any other one. Even the soccer one.
Yeah, if we're being honest, I've just been told the NHL have done well. I don't actually know.
I thought they're doing some sort of bubble. There's only one. Like, I have a favorite hockey team, but it's been I was super into them when I was a kid, but it's been a while. And
yes, who's your favorite hockey team?
The Sharks. When I lived in San Jose, we had like the 10 game ticket pack thing.
Right.
So I would go to like a few a year, and then we also got tickets to like one round of every playoff game with every series with that playoff series. So yeah, I was into it, and then I was thinking about I should like follow them again this year, and they did not make the bubble, Noah. I'll tell you that they were not invited. The NHL made a bubble, and they were like the Sharks didn't make it.
Yeah, my loose did not make it. So don't beat yourself up too much.
I have a hockey puck somewhere where I cannot tell you, but I definitely did not get rid of it. That is autographed by Sharky, the Sharks mascot.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
look at you. Did I ever tell you I got an autograph from a Cowboys player, a fullback actually, and he was the same player who missed the block that broke Tony Romo's collarbone in 2015.
That is the most Noah thing I've ever heard.
Yep. Don't I fucking know it? I don't wear that jersey anymore.
If anything symbolized your fandom more, that's it. In a nutshell. It's like you getting the Eric Gordon jersey instead of the Blake Griffin one, and then this.
They trade Gordon like a year later. It's uncanny.
That's fucking perfect.
Is this the intro you had planned?
My plan was I was gonna say sports ball, and I assumed we would go somewhere great, and it went places better than I ever expected.
Of course it did.
Well, Sharkies never let me down, let me tell you.
Oh God, no, not the Sharkies.
The sharks have. Sharky specifically has not. What a great mascot. You can, well, I don't know if you'll be able to do this anymore, but in the olden times, that's like the only acceptable way to refer to pre-coronavirus is like in the old times.
Oh, yes. In
the before times.
When we were naive.
Yeah. He would like, if he was like, you know, how mascots walk around, it's kind of their job. You could take pictures with him, and he would like put his big shark mouth, like you put your head in his big shark mouth, like you're being eaten by a shark. It's fucking great.
We should do a six pack of the best mascots in sports.
Oh yeah. That would be an interesting one. I had never really considered it. Who are good mascots? Like, what's this Flyers one? Gumby? It's not his name.
Isn't that like a TV show, Gumby?
Yeah, Gumby's a TV show. What is the Flyer? The big orange guy.
I have no idea. There's like the green one, the green monster.
Well, yeah, the Philly Fanatic.
The Philly Fanatic. I know that from Sonny.
What's the... Oh, fuck. Philadelphia, Philly... I'm going to say Philly Flyers.
There's the Clipper Condor.
That's a great one. Well, Noah, what are you drinking? Because I am currently just Googled Philly Flyers graphic, which is gritty.
What did that bring up?
Gritty. That's just like their logos and shit. Gritty. You know Gritty.
I'm drinking another Scrimshaw, and I realized we should not do a six-pack of mascots because I know two of them.
Well, you'd have to presumably Google them.
Oh, that's true. But there are only two that matter. Scrimshaw, a 9% beer. There is a cool
that's the 9% chart. Beer. Like, that's just how you're... That's your first line of your pitch.
I don't know if I need to say much more. What are you drinking, Eric?
Oh, I'm drinking I made like a double batch of the I made two margaritas worth. And so I'm drinking the second.
And you saved it for a week? Disgusting.
Yeah, it's been in my fridge for a fucking week.
You gave another shake though, right?
I gave it a hard swirl.
Okay. I was nervous for a second.
Yeah. What is the second mascot you're aware of? Oh, it's just the Philly Fanatic and the Condor?
Yeah, no, those are the two.
The Chuck the Condor's intro is like the best fucking thing. Just Steve Ballmer so screaming. When Chuck says cheer, you cheer!
All right, here's the deal, Chuck. I want you all to listen. Whenever Chuck asks us to cheer, what's our job? We do what Chuck tells us to do. It'll make us better.
People made fun of Chuck the Condor when it made its debut, and that was ridiculous. This is the greatest fucking debut of a goddamn mascot ever. It's already iconic.
Did Steve Ballmer, is that when he dunked?
I'm pretty sure Steve Ballmer is in the Clipper Condor.
But is that when he dunked? Do you remember that?
I do remember. I think that it might have been, but I can't remember.
Yeah, so.
Anything you mentioned the olden times. All of the olden times kind of feels like one moment now. You know, like
we were so young then.
It's before and after.
Right. Yeah, I'm drinking a margarita, the same margarita from last week. Yeah, the sports ball. We'll get some playoff sports ball. Baseball may or may not be happening. The NFL is just full steam ahead.
You almost gotta respect the arrogance.
I loved the video of the Broncos with like basically just like they walk through a tunnel of Lysol before they go out on the field. For practice.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, that's gotta be what it is, but it's just like, it looks like, you know, like an airport security, like metal detector thing, mm-hmm. but it's just spraying things at them. And so, and like the caption was like, time for practice, but first we sanitize.
That is hysterical on so many levels.
Yeah.
But the utmost level is that's not going to do fucking shit. No. They do not understand how this disease
works.
That's
not even...
We are so screwed. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Football is going to go terribly. They think that's going to prevent anything.
It's objectively the worst sport for this. I mean the only thing it has going for it, and it's probably not enough, is that it's outdoors. But not even all of them are outdoors, but I think they're like open air arenas, you know.
Yeah,
they're like big enough. Like the Superdome's probably big enough for that not to be. But maybe not, because it's all like circulated air. That's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. If they think spraying players down with Lysol is going to prevent COVID, they're just fucking screwed.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun experiment. Also, they've been filming Hard Knocks. What is that going to be? There's no they canceled preseason, right?
Yeah, no, there are no games.
Yeah, so what is Hard Knocks going to be?
I don't fucking know.
We don't even know what rosters are going to be like.
No, like, I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be terrible.
That's going to be so fucking bad. Like, the worst Hard Knocks ever was the Rams. And so what did they... The only way to make it worse is to do it half Rams, half Chargers.
That's what they're doing?
Yes, Rams and Chargers. Because they're just staying in L.A. is, like,
okay, that makes sense, but that's going to be so bad.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess, like, you have McVay and not whatever the fuck the, you know, 8-8 man. But, yeah, it's going to be McVay and the Philip Rivers-less Chargers. Like, the Tyrod Taylor Chargers. Can you name a less interesting team? Like...
Oh, that is a good question. I don't think I can.
Because, like,
I would not want to watch a Chargers game.
Like, there's the Jaguars, but they're, like, funny, interesting. Like, the Browns. But even, like, I mean, like, normally the Browns are bad, interesting. But, like, this year they have Odell and, like, Mick Baker. So, like, I don't know. And, like, presumably a real head coach.
Yeah, no, the Browns are very interesting.
Yeah.
But Denver is not very interesting, but at least they could be decent.
I don't know how to place them.
Yeah, I don't either. But I feel like they could be at least average. Chargers are going to be bad.
I don't really buy.
But one thing
Drew
the Chargers
Lock
have, they have Derwin James. If you're really into safety play, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean he's like incredible, but he's a fucking safety. Like
exactly.
Yeah,
you can't even see him half the time he's on the field.
Yeah. and like they got the least interesting quarterback in the draft. I think they got Herbert, right?
Yeah,
Herbert. he's gonna bust. Like it's just
we already know. Yeah. Let's just write it off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna suck. Yeah, man, it's weird. It's really weird. Also,
it's gonna be so bad, but I would fucking kill to watch the Chargers game right now.
Yeah, football's gonna be weird. I will say this: so the fanless product for outdoor sports has been not great, and that is a concern because, like,
I didn't notice that pattern, but yeah, you're right.
Like, the NBA has been the best. I'm not sure about the NHL, but that's, like, a much bigger... Like, the hockey rinks are a lot bigger than basketball courts, so, like, cameras... Because, like, in the NBA, you can, like, really... It's, like, a pretty intimate setting anyway if you're just... If it's just cameras.
You can barely see it.
Obviously, I haven't been watching any NHL because my beloved Sharks didn't make the fucking bubble.
I've heard NHL looks really good.
Okay. But baseball has really been not great. I mean, I've watched, but I'm just like objectively, they've piped in crowd noise, and I don't think it's been that great. And like the cardboard fans do help because like looking at empty seats is bad. And like in the outfield, they like put like they've used that as like ad space. They put like big tarps, you know, over like the sections, which does I think make a difference. But it's still like it's still eerie sound, you know.
Yeah,
and like
I've
soccer
watched a
too.
Little bit of baseball. Yeah, and soccer, like it's all right, but it's still eerie.
Yeah, I watched like because you know our beloved Timbers. I watched like they went to penalty kicks a couple games ago, and it was like they won, and it was like really almost anticlimactic. Like the players got pumped, but it was just kind of like. You just heard a few people go, and it was like, that's not great. That's just not. Yeah, so I don't know. Because the NFL is like a made-for-TV sport, but like you need that ambiance.
Yeah, you really do.
But
I guess you don't see the stands ever with the camera, so that might help.
That's true. I think, I don't know if it's been intentional, but I feel like the NBA's done a lot of like close-ups. Of like players, which I think helps. Like that's kind of hard to avoid in like in baseball sometimes, like in between plays, obviously. But
yeah,
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that will be okay. I'm assuming they're going to pipe in crowd noise, because if it's silent, you can't fucking have that. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Crowd noise, like, the piped in crowd noise isn't good, but it's too eerie. It's even eerie with the crowd piped in crowd noise for baseball, yeah. At least.
And, like, no crowd noise, I think, could work with basketball in a way, because it would feel like you're at the gym, but it would be terrible for football.
Basketball also, like, plays music during the games, which I always hate. But yeah. But it, like, they have that built in now. So, like, it like, it's not weird to, like, hear, you know, stuff in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's going to be...
Sports ball, man.
Sports ball. Who knew we were going to get so much out of sports ball?
Yeah, I know, right? We went on for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Episode 75. Into the Spider-Verse. Part 2. We're going to go through the dramatic conclusion, then we'll do our normal shit. We left off on a bit of a teaser. Miles became his own version of Spider-Man and is ready to join the fight. The final fight.
Oh boy, it's happening.
Yeah, so he shows up at the lair where the Super Collider is, and they're all fighting. Great scene, because it's like, it's again, it's how they do the fight scenes. It's very stylized. You have, you know, all the individual moments. Another fucking perfect Spider-Ham moment happens here, where the one of the bad guys is like, "You're just a cartoon," and then, like, he beats the shit out of him, and he was like, "Did that feel like a cartoon?"
Wait, you know, it's not, you got a problem with cartoons?
So good.
I almost chose that as my favorite quote, but I wanted to choose a not Spider Pig, Porter Pig, whatever the fuck his name is.
Peter Porker.
Just because we've said every fucking line of his already.
Right. So yeah, this is a great fight scene, and he can, like, control his powers now. He shows up invisible. That's, like, part of it. And they're all, like, so happy for him when he shows up, you know, because they know he's ready. And this whole scene is, like, so good. It's just fighting. It's, you know, they do the thing, and then Miles is like, "I'm ready." And so, like, because, you know, they all go back to their respective universes one at a time. And
I'm not going to lie, I was pretty sad to see each spider being...
I was too. I wish they could just hang out some more, you know?
Me too. Which is part of the way the genius of this movie is. They, like, used Spider-Pig and Noir and really just sparingly, so you're kind of like,
you want more.
Which,
I mean, we'll talk about this more, but I guess we can talk about, you know, the sequel that is in the works down the line.
I got mixed feelings. Let's save it.
Me too.
Let's save it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So they fight the bad guys. They do quite well against the bad guys.
They kick some serious ass.
They go back one at a time, and then Miles tells Burrito Peter, like, "You gotta go back and fix things with Mary Jane," sort of thing. And he releases him back into the black hole. Also, this scene, it mirrors a scene from earlier when Burrito Peter's, like, teaching Miles, and Miles, like, can't control his sticking, so he, like, grabs him. And that, like, that mirrors Miles, like, grabbing him before he lets him go. So, just everything
Another
in this
great
movie.
Moment.
Everything
Again,
in this,
like,
fucking movie.
It wouldn't have worked if it weren't such a good movie.
Yeah. And then Miles fights Kingpin mano a mano. And he overcomes. Oh, and then he defeats him where he, like, puts his hand on his shoulder, like, from when his Uncle Aaron was talking earlier about how to get girls, and he puts his hand on Kingpin's shoulder and is like, "Hey," and then he does his venom explosion and shoots him into turning off the collider and saving the day.
Just so good. circular.
It's fucking perfection.
It's such a perfect movie.
So yeah, so he gets Kingpin. He like semi reconciles with his dad, although his dad doesn't know it's him. Which that's also a great scene, because the arc between him and his dad's relationship and like him and his uncle's relationship is so good.
Mm-hmm. And then also his dad and his dad's relationship with Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like all connected.
Yeah. His dad realized that Spider-Man saved the day and wasn't actually the bad guy. And he hugs his dad as Spider-Man. His dad obviously doesn't know it's him. But yeah, and then it's kind of...
A really touching moment.
Right.
Like, you see how much Miles just wants to be, like, with his family and, like, how scared he is. Because he's really just a kid.
Mm-hmm. He's just a kid, man. He's just a kid. He's just a kid. And then we get finally the payoff of Miles's introduction at the very end, where he says, "Let's do this one last time," and then we get kind of his.
And boy, does it land!
It lands so well. It lands so well. And then that's where it ends. It ends on that high. I do have a couple more notes. Did you watch through the credits?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I was thinking about naming this as my MVT. It's so fucking good.
So it's
a work of art.
So there's two fucking things about the credits. So in the original Spider-Man's intro, he like drops he when we mentioned like he's or he kind of like sells out and stuff. Like he talks jokes about making a Christmas album. They play one of the Christmas album songs near the end of the credits. Did you hear that part?
Yeah, I think I did.
So I have a fun fact about that. I'll just say that now, because I have a lot of fun facts. I'm sure you do, too. Chris Pine actually sang the Christmas album.
Yeah,
like,
did.
They recorded him doing a Christmas album, and that's actually him. And then they did the Spider-Man meme in the cutscene at the very end.
I don't think I picked that up.
You didn't see that, where the Spider-Man's pointing at the other Spider-Man?
No, now I have to rewatch the whole movie.
No, you don't. You can just skip to the end.
No, I have to, Eric. I have to rewatch it.
But what's another cool thing about that is, like, the Spider-Man in the cutscene is Oscar Isaac. Like, his voice.
Oscar Isaac? Like, the dude from,
Yeah.
Star Wars?
Yeah, Poe.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's the voice... And he's, like, he's the voice that's pointing at the other Spider-Man.
God, wow.
Do you miss that? What did you watch, then? When did you turn it off?
No, I watched the whole thing. I was just didn't notice.
The meme, they did the meme where he's pointing at the other Spider-Man?
No, I understand what they did. I didn't click for me.
Okay, well, you're going to have to go back and watch that. Yeah, that's my last note, is they did the meme.
They did the meme.
Yeah, so that, what a great movie. We have many a fun fact. Do you have your fun facts? You want to do that next?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay. Let me pull up. What did you have one you want to start with?
Yeah, so we talked about Stan Lee. I almost said Spike Lee, but mm-hmm. It's Stan.
I always do that in my head.
Yeah, right. And this was his final voice acting role. But he didn't just appear in that cameo we talked about. He is also seen sitting in pretty much every subway in the movie. And if you pause it, you'll probably be able to see.
Yes. In the leap of faith scene, this is like a small detail. Because he's, like, upside down. Because he's falling.
Please explain it more.
Yeah. There's a running gag in the movie that, like, his shoes are always untied as, like, a style choice. And you can see, like, his shoelace is, like... It looks like it's going against gravity, but it's correct because he's upside down. But his shoelace untied is in that scene.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's weird. I really like that. Speaking of that scene, the scene that you just explained was in the very first draft of the movie. Like, they had that idea in their head from the very beginning.
That's super cool. I have a lot on, like, the animation, because that's, like, what this movie is known for, even outside of, like, you know, being funny. So every frame of this movie is fully illustrated, so you can pause it at any point, and, like, the full... there's no, like, blurred. And that kind of, like, it kind of gives it a bit of a stop-motion feel, but it also, like, adds to the comic book aspect of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the comic book aspect of it, a really cool thing they did is, like, they colored it like a comic book, right? Like, they did the shading and, like, stuff. But when they wanted to, like, focus on one part of the screen and, like, blur out the other, what they did is they made the unfocused part look like they colored it like it was misprinted on a page. So, like, they had the coloring off, and that kind of gave it a blurred aspect and focused you on the other parts of the screen, which is, like, a really cool idea.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's so subtle.
Yeah.
Speaking of the animation, we're doing really, just side note, side tangent real quick. Mm-hmm. We're doing really well pairing our fun facts, like, together.
Yeah.
But speaking of the animation, they went through 70 designs to figure out what Miles would look like invisible, what the animation would look like.
Oh, really? I know, so, like, some of those, so, like, those, like, those, like, fight scene, like, still images, most of those were largely hand-drawn, and they also, so, like, because... the animation style was like comic book, they didn't like hand draw like every single frame, so they did have like normal animation software, but like they had to teach it to like not be like normal animation software. So what they did was for like Miles, all of his expressions are done with like basically bold lines. And I guess what they said they did was, like, they basically had to teach the computer how to react. So, like, when they told it to, like, make a face, someone would manually correct it. And so it was, like, the animation program would, like, try and make the face, and they'd be, like, it should be this instead. And they basically did that over and over again until it, like, learned how to do their animation style, which I thought was interesting. They also, yeah, as, like...
That'd be painstaking. Yeah,
they also, like... They thought they did this out of laziness, but it ended up working really well, like, kind of, like, with the artistic theme. But, like, the images inside, like, the subway and buses in the background are just, like, still paintings of, like, people, basically. So, like, they thought it was just a way to, like, save manpower and time, but it actually kind of gives it that comic book feel once again, because it's, like, it feels like static images in the background.
God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
God, I fucking love this movie. It usually takes a team of animators for most movies about a week to create 4 seconds of animation. But it took about a month to create 4 seconds of animation in this movie.
Yeah, well, because they, like, reinvented animation.
It's quite a bit of time.
Yeah. Let's see. I had a good one. Where is he? There's a lot of, like, background, like, Easter eggs. I mean, like in Times Square, for instance, one of the billboards is Seth Rogen's on one of them. Steph Curry's on one of them. There's like a reference to an excellent movie that we should definitely do for this podcast. I just remembered it because I saw this. Have you ever heard of the movie or seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
No, I've heard of it though.
It is one of Clooney's first movies, and it's not technically a Tarantino because he didn't direct it, but he wrote the script for it and he stars in it. And he is an actor in it, and it is fucking insane.
I don't know if I can handle 2 hours of Tarantino acting.
No, this movie is fucking insane. I've seen it a few times, and it takes like a hard left turn at one point, and it is wild. It's like one of the first scripts Tarantino wrote, so you can only imagine. And it's like really early Clooney.
I'm so down. That's like
I need to see
like
a
ride.
But there's like a reference to it. There's like a billboard for a movie called From Dusk Till Shawn, and it's like has like the Shawn of the Dead sort of like poster.
That's good. That's clever. The animators. So the guy who voiced Shameik Moore, who we have not talked enough about.
We haven't.
He is so good.
Yeah.
Voicing this role. Like, obviously, like, Muhammad Ali and John Mulaney, Nicolas Cage is all fantastic.
Mahershala
but Shameik
Ali?
Moore.
Sorry, I can't let that slide. You just called him Muhammad Ali.
We can edit that one out.
We could. You're right. It is technically possible. That's a correct statement.
No.
It's technically possible to edit out the part where you called Mahershala Ali Muhammad Ali.
I'm actively rooting for people not to listen to this one. I really hope nobody listens. Oh, shut it all down.
Continue.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's good. But the animators liked him a lot, and they weren't just animating what he said. They, like, noticed his body language and his facial expressions and how he delivered the lines. And the animators like kind of worked that in as well.
I can't find my source, but I definitely read this, and I will. Ah, fuck. But yeah, to like kind of tag along with your fun fact, we mentioned how Miles Morales is an actual spider. You know, he was like an actual character in the comics.
Yeah.
Apparently, he, like, 5 years before this, he, like, wrote in a journal, like, I am Miles Morales, or something.
Yeah,
and, like,
I remember
That was part of his audition, was, like, he was, like, because he, like, identified with the character so much. Fuck, there it is. I found it. Yeah, he wrote in his journal, I am Miles Morales, because he felt connected to the character. He mentioned the filmmakers to when he was auditioning, and he still has the journal. So yeah, that's cool.
It just adds the perfectness of this movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like a ton of Easter eggs. It's like too many to get into. Oh, one that's really cool is if you like pause the like earthquake explosion sequence at the right moment, you can see like sit like whatever the five distinct like five distinct blurbs like entering the universe for like each of the respective spider people.
Oh, I think I did pick that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just small details, man. All right, my last fun fact, and definitely my favorite one. This is John Mulaney's first appearance in a theatrical released film, mm-hmm. and the producers were like, "Hey, have fun with the role, play around with the dialogue."
So he did improvise.
I think he did a lot of improvisation. Yeah, and he cursed a ridiculous amount, just constantly, and he eventually asked what the filmmakers what is going to be rated, and they said PG, but I need to see the director's cut of this, with the only thing being changed is John Mulaney's cursing.
Yeah, I need to see, we need like the outtakes at least, you know?
Yes. Yes, we do. I need that in my life.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a whole rabbit hole of like the animation and like production. Like it's insane, like the levels they went to, or like how granular you can get. For example, like traditionally in CG, like everything's done like every image is on the screen for like one frame at a time to give it like a smooth, realistic feel. But they specifically did their animation to like hold for two frames, and that gives it like a slower, like still frame feel. But they like, they played off that.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but they played off that in specific situations. For like an example is when Peter and Miles are like swinging together when they're escaping the science lab. One of them's held on two frames, and the other is like three or something. So they're like out of sync, and then like progressively they get on the same frame rate as they keep going, as Miles starts to get the hang of it. And that's like a very specific choice they made. And they do that throughout the whole movie. Like that's, they play around with like the different frame rates and stuff. It's just, yeah.
This movie is so fucking cool. It's such a fucking great movie.
It was just like next level, like all the shit they did on this movie.
Yeah, it's a perfect movie.
And like
there's some movies that are great. There's some movies that are perfect. This one's a perfect movie.
Yeah. So basically, like, and there's like probably like 50, at least like 50 small facts like that they did just relating to like just their animation work. All right. You want to do favorite quote or most valuable thing next?
Let's talk about the sequel real quick.
Yes, that's important. Yeah.
So is it confirmed? Are they doing a sequel for sure? Or is it a rumor? I can't remember.
I think it's confirmed, but let me check. You're hesitant.
I'm hesitant because
it's confirmed.
Yeah, we don't need a sequel. Okay, this was a perfect fucking movie. I will watch the shit out of a sequel. Don't get me wrong, but we don't need it. Let's not, like, it's just, they've perfected the recipe. Let's just let it live as it is, and we can move about our lives. That said, when it comes out, I'm going to be really excited, and I'll probably love it, and I'll probably regret saying that.
Yeah, like, this is like a, it's like, have you heard about the movie The Gray Man?
No, I don't think so.
It's a movie. It's being directed by the Russo brothers, who did like Avengers.
Yeah. Is this the one with Ryan Gosling and
Chris Evans?
Chris Evans.
Yeah, and they're like, it's the guys who made the Infinity Wars and Endgame. Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling, and like they have this like infinity budget, and the goal is to make a Netflix like James Bond, to start like a Netflix James Bond series.
I can't wait.
And like, yeah, it's like those, all those things. There's like a part of me that's like revolted by every one of those details, but I'm going to watch it the second it comes out.
Yeah, 100%. It's either going to be really good, you know, like excellent, probably not. Or it's going to be so bad, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a gross, like, money grab. But, like, I also want to see an infinity budget Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, James Bond. So yes. I'm going to watch it. 100%. And that's how I feel about, I just don't know. I'm just, I don't know. I think my biggest concern is like everyone went back, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like everyone went back in the first one. So it's like, they're going to have to, are they going to bring them back? Are there going to be new? I think the best option is there's new Spider-Man, but like there has to be a multiverse. I think. Maybe not.
There has to be a multiverse. I think the best way, I mean, then how do you call it Spider-Verse?
It's just because the first one, I don't know. I mean, so the only things we know about it is it is confirmed. It is supposed to come out in 2022. Some person named Joaquim Josantos is directing it, and I don't think he directed the first one. I don't think he was involved with the first one.
Okay.
But Shameik Moore is confirmed to be in it.
Yeah, he's got to be in it. I think,
but he's the only one that's confirmed.
I feel like you have to. I think you can bring back Peter B. Parker, and you can bring back Gwen. You know, I think they can play. I think the best way to do it is those two play prominent roles, mm-hmm. and then the other three come back for one scene. You know. And then you introduce new spider characters that played the role of those three, you know? I don't think you can come back and bring Porter the Pig and Nicolas Cage and the robot, and I don't think they can deliver at the same level. Cuz that was unheard of territory. That was some peak shit.
I think I think you're right. If the like Gwen and Peter B. Parker are like the only two that they need, it'd almost be better if like they like John Mulaney was like the cutscene or something, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like that
exactly what it needs to be.
That's the type of thing. But like I don't know. Like it'd be weird bringing them back after all of that.
And also, you know? I'd watch an entire movie of just John Mulaney.
Having said that though, like the whole thing about the first one is like it should have been kind of lame, but like because they did it well, it wasn't, and so like maybe they deserve that benefit of the doubt.
That's a good point.
They find a clever way to bring everyone back or whatever.
I think we're just so pessimistic and jagged from literally everything else about this world except for Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse is the only universe that it makes sense, you know.
It's the only good thing in our lives. I'm excited for the sequel, but probably, I don't know, mixed feelings. But I'm gonna watch the shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, so tentative release date is October 2022. I just found an article that teases a fan favorite character. What is the?
Oh boy.
I'm not familiar. This must be. Oh. Okay. This poster has. Cindy Moon, aka Silk. Whose background is a Korean American who was bitten by the same spider that originally turned Peter Parker into Spider-Man. So, So that could be like I like that. That gives me optimism that it's going to be new characters.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like these people who made this movie earned our trust. Like they're fantastic. There's no way they knock this movie out of the park and they just don't, like they have talent. They can do this.
And I mean obviously it's not the same director, but I think a lot of the same producers are involved. And I have heard, I'm going to try and find an actual article, but I've heard that they're like basically trying to reinvent animation again.
I don't know how you even do that. But then again, that's why they're the geniuses.
Yeah, let me. Oh, here we go. From July 1st. One of the producers says the animation will be even more mind-blowing than the first. Well, that doesn't really tell us much.
But that is what we call a tease.
That's him. That's him selling his movie. Yeah, the development of new ground bacon. Oh fuck. Okay, never mind. It was a tweet, and I clicked on it, and it opened Twitter. Development of the new groundbreaking art techniques being done for the next Spider-Verse are already blowing me away. It's going to make the first movie look quaint, what he said.
Oh, shit. I have my hopes so fucking high.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. Don't know. Yeah, it'll be...
It might be the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into it. There's, I guess, a tease of a Japanese Spider-Man might be in it. I think it's going to be... It seems very, very likely, based on the teases, that it will be a new set of Spider-Men somehow. Like a new... You know, it'll be Miles Morales, obviously, and different people.
I need at least one scene of John Mulaney, though.
The perfect amount would just be like a cut scene of like him just coming in like, hey, remember me? Like, did you watch Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah, most of the episodes.
At the end of one of the seasons, you know the character. This is gonna sound fucking stupid to anyone who hasn't watched the show, but you know the character Poopy Butthole. Yeah. There was one, he wasn't in the show for an entire season, and then at the cut, like, because they always have that scene at the end, like after the initial credits of every episode, at the end of the season finale of that season, it's just him with like a family, and he was like, hey, you thought I was cut out? I was just starting a family. And like that was the cutscene. It was so fucking funny because he wasn't in the whole season and they just threw him in at the cutscene at the very at the season finale, like, hey, forgot about me. So that's what I'm envisioning. That's like my inspiration for Mulaney's return.
That would be absolutely perfect. And just, you do a very good Poopy Butthole.
Thank
if
you.
If I didn't say so myself.
Oh god, that show is good. I want to hate it, but it's so funny.
Yeah,
I feel like the fans of that show are annoying, but it's just fucking, it's genius.
No, those fans do suck, but that show like lives up to it.
Have you seen the latest season?
No, I need to. It's not on Hulu yet.
Yeah, it's on like I think Adult Swim's website is like streaming the latest episodes or something. It's worth checking out. But there's an episode in the latest season that's so fucking funny where they like, you know, they go to different universes and stuff. It's like the whole show. And yeah. They go to this universe and like a bunch of weird stuff happens. But like when they leave, they like basically kill everyone on this planet. And they're murdering everyone. And then they're like flying their like UFO, and it's a really dark humor joke, but they like start flying and they see like these two buildings standing up, and then they they're flying towards it, and then they like look at each other and they like shake their heads and go around it. It's so bad.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, that show gets real dark. It's awful. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. It's terrible. Okay. We didn't even get to either what most valuable thing or quotes.
Let's do quotes. I like getting on valuable thing.
Okay. My quote is gonna be lame. It's just a
when you float through the air when you smell a delicious pie.
It's so fucking funny every time I hear it.
It's so fucking good. I'm a photographer for the Daily Beagle. When I'm not pooching around, I'm working like a dog trying to sniff out the latest story. I frolic and I dance and I do this with my pants.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Frolic and I dance and I do this with my pants.
Oh, every one of those is my favorite quote.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Spider-Man Noir because he deserves the recognition.
He does, he does.
Wherever I go, the wind follows. And the wind, it smells like rain.
So good. Yeah, yeah. On this rewatch, I just completely forgot how funny Nick Cage is in this movie.
He's so good. Maybe his best part ever.
Yeah. Alright, most valuable thing. There's a lot you could go with.
I've gone back and forth on quite a few.
Me too. I'm gonna say the animation, and it's really lame, but it's really that good.
The movie does not work without that animation for sure.
I even though he was my favorite quote, like Spider-Ham was really that special. Oh, I forgot to say, I was couching this because it was gonna be one of my fun facts. I was gonna say it many times every time I bring up Spider-Ham. But so their original vision for like the voice of Spider-Ham was like a really old man. Like that's what they said, but they let the casting department, they're just like, you know, like get really creative, but like, you know, we're thinking of like, you know, a male like 60 plus sort of thing just to play the stupid little pig. And then as soon as they heard John Mulaney's tape, they're like, all right, stop the search, like this is fucking it, like
yeah, you're not gonna be John Mulaney.
Yeah,
that's, I think a 60-year-old like a really old dude would have been actually like that would have been as good of a second option.
I see like what their thought was, you know.
Yeah,
like when they said that, I was like, I see it, like that would have been funny and I see why, but like I'm glad they let them like put out a wide search and I'm glad they realized the genius that was happening.
It's a perfect movie because they got John Mulaney.
Yeah, exactly. Alright, what's your most valuable thing?
I almost chose John Mulaney, but my most valuable thing is going to be the soundtrack. It's
really good.
So fucking
really good.
Yeah, it sets the tone of the movie from the fucking beginning with the sunflower.
Yeah. So, fun fact, which I also did not neglect in the fun fact section. So that when they play Sunflower for Miles' introduction, that was the very last scene they animated because the song wasn't done yet.
Oh, cool.
When they started animating. So like they had to wait till the song was done, and once it was done,
they wanted to like match it up to the...
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That song should be the intro to these two episodes.
Okay, I didn't even think about that. I probably would have done like Hypnotized because that was also a dope song in this movie. But yeah, that makes more sense. It's like it was an original song for the movie, so
yeah,
so that makes more sense.
That song is so fucking good.
Yeah,
that song is so good. That soundtrack was the beat to the movie in a lot of ways.
It really was. Yeah. Also, like, I feel that way about like a few Post Malone songs. Not all of them, but like he has a few good songs, and then it's like I find out it's Post Malone. I'm like,
yeah, I'm almost disappointed. I was like, anybody else?
Yeah, I was like, I guess. I mean, I do like the song, but
fuck, man.
Yeah. So great movie. Highly recommend. Two thumbs up.
Perhaps, just perfect.
Perhaps the best movie or best movie adjacent. I mean, yeah, Pan's Labyrinth is just so different. Like, it's almost impossible to compare them.
Yeah, I love them both so much.
Those have been by far the best two we've done, though. All right, what is your fuck this thing?
My fuck this thing is, as I scroll through my phone... people who call themselves empaths, have you run across this?
I have not run across this.
So there'll be people like somebody who's an empath is somebody who like just automatically understands what somebody else is feeling. You know, like they're just so in tune.
Oh, like with other empath.
People. Yeah, empath. Yeah,
they call themselves. No.
Yes, I met people who were like, "I'm an empath. I'm in tune with other people."
Oh, fuck off. That is all gross. The way. That's disgusting. I'm so glad I haven't encountered that.
You're fucking lucky. These people are obnoxious. You don't know what the fuck I'm thinking. I can be mad or I can be happy. You don't know. You don't know why I'm feeling that way. Go fuck yourself. You're so god, like, it's just such an entitled thing to say that you think you're on that much of an elevated field.
Yeah.
Fuck those people.
I fucked this thing. Let's see. No, this is a perfect time to do this one. So I have one that's like, it's not a flex, but like, I feel like you are going to give me shit for it. So coming off your empath, I feel like this is the perfect time to do this one. So, most morning, like during weekdays, I like for breakfast, I have like, I make these protein smoothies that I have most mornings. But I got a different protein powder, and
you're not, such a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, I hate it.
You're such a fucking
That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is like the powder itself. I mean, like I don't like it as much as the other one, but that's not what we're here for, you know. We're here because it doesn't give me the same type of gains. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, the scoop is too long for the packaging. So like you have to, you know, cuz like all protein powders, they come with their like own cheap plastic scoop, you know, for like the serving size, but the handle is like too long, so you have to like burrow it in there in order to close it. It's so dumb. It makes me so mad.
I want to say this whole thing is very douchey, but you raise a very good point.
That is the fuck this thing is, like, the packaging makes no sense. The handle is so long, you have to, like, I have to, like, dig in order to be able to close the lid.
Yeah, and most, like, protein things, like, it's a big enough lid where you can get in there. You don't need a long scooper.
Yeah, this one, like, I think it's the packaging, it's they made it skinnier and taller for whatever reason this one is, but the handle is longer than the average scoop for no reason. Like, it doesn't need to be this long. It just is, and therefore I cannot close it without digging a hole in so I can put the scoop in. Because
it's early in the morning. You don't want to deal with that shit. Yeah,
it's bullshit. Yeah.
And let it be known today, on August, a week from the 6th, this podcast turned into the Douche Bros.
Douche Bros. We've rebranded.
I need to start hitting the gym again.
Did gyms reopen? I don't even know.
Not in California. I'm sure in other places they have.
That's a tough proposition. Just the nature of like sharing gym equipment.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that until we have a vaccine.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, like, so, anyway, what I'm saying is I'm trying to get gains out here, and my scoop is too long.
You can't get past the scoop, you know?
Yeah.
You're too strong for the scoop.
Right. I guess I could just cut it.
You know, you're too buff.
It's ridiculous.
I can't believe you did that.
I wrote it down and I was like, I don't know if there will ever be a time, but after your empath one, I was like, thank you. Thank you for setting me up. Alright. Anything else to add on Spider-Verse or sports ball?
Just a perfect movie and go Ducks, I think.
Oh, is that, I was like, what? yeah. I was gonna I was going to do something, but here's a tease, which I don't even know what our next topic is. But I know what our next opener is going to be. So you're going to have to wait till next week. You're going to have to wait till next week.
I'm
probably not. I'll probably tell you after we stop, but listeners, listeners, you will have to wait till next week. All right. With that, fuck people who call themselves empaths. That's still such, that's not psychotic.
Doesn't that make you angry?
It makes me really mad.
Yeah.
And then fuck the designers of whichever brand protein powder made the scoop too big for their fucking bottle or whatever container.
This is the Douche Bros. And I hope you all have a good night.
Stay drunk, everyone.
Stay drunk.